relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
You're listening to America First with Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald J. Trump.
Yes, I have a very special guest one-on-one for the second hour here on America First. My former boss, the 45th, and God willing, if we do our part, the 47th President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. We spoke to him earlier today, and first we discussed the whole question of the bloodbath comments.
I got to get going. So thank you, everybody, for being here. We appreciate it very much. We appreciate it very much. Gorka, did I see the Gorka man? Yes, yeah, stand up, Gorka. Quick, get up. How good is he? Sebastian? Seb. They call him Seb. I call him Sebastian. Thank you, Sebastian. I just spotted you. It's lucky you're nice and tall.
No longer Dr. G. Is it the Gorka man? Maybe if the former and God willing, if we do our part, the future president gives you a new nickname, you should stick to it. We are honored to have with us my former boss, the 45th president of the United States, Donald J. Trump. Mr. President, welcome to America First.
Hi, Sebastian. I'm lucky I spotted you. See, you're nice and tall, so I was able to spot you. Otherwise, I would have been in big trouble if I didn't see you. You've been so great. So anyway, and I thank you for that.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. All right, let's begin with the thing that was most of concern to you the last time we met at Mar-a-Lago. I have to ask on behalf of the millions of people who are listening right now, how concerned are you, Mr. President? You are trouncing the current incumbent. You became the nominee with such ease. Are you certain, are you confident that this election at least will be secure and fair?
They've cheated for many years, decades, I hear. I was witness to it the last time, and that was, in my opinion, absolute. It was a disgrace. We won that election. It was a rigged election. And look at what's happened between the borders of Afghanistan and Ukraine being attacked by Russia. This would have never happened. And with Israel, the attack on Israel October 7th, all of this is all of things that would never have happened. Inflation would have never happened because I had energy low, and when he came in, it doubled and tripled, and it threw the whole system off. It's just so, I mean, think of what the world would have been like if we had an election where we had a fair election, just to put it nicely. I want to be nice if we had a fair election. So they're going to try and rig it. I have no doubt about it. They've been doing it for years. And look, how can you win on open borders, high interest rates, a woke military, all the things that they talk about, all electric cars? How about all electric cars? They don't go far, they cost too much, and they're made in China. How do you do that? So how can they win with what they do? Their policies are so bad. The thing they do best is cheating at elections and misinformation, like the word bloodbath, which they've used 100 times over the last year about describing things. And I used it about trade, essentially auto trade, because we're getting ripped off with Biden's really dumb auto policy. I tell you what, if any auto worker, United Auto Worker or other, if any auto worker voted against Trump, they are not the smartest people. If they vote against Trump, if you look at what Biden's done to that industry, it's incredible. In a short period of time, the electric mandate will destroy it completely.
You mentioned the border, sir. The State of the Union was recently. The current incumbent was incapable of even mentioning correctly the name of Laken Riley. You took time to meet with his parents. I have to ask you, as the man who secured the border when you were the chief executive, what is the Democrat plan? Is it simply to turn tens of millions of illegals into citizens and then lock in their constituency by breaking the U.S. Constitution? Why would they let at least 8 million illegals into this country in the last 3 years, sir?
I think that's what their plan is. Look, at first I would say, you know, because they cheat so much, they don't really need to do that. They cheat so much with the ballots and everything else that they probably don't need to do that. But we think we have that locked down. We hope we have it locked down. You know, they always come up with another way of doing it, like broken machines all over the place. If you look at Cary, the machines were broken. Everybody waited till Tuesday, which Republicans have historically liked to do. And then they got out and the machines were broken. Tremendous percentages of machines were just broken. And the courts don't give relief. It's just, it's hard to believe. But I guess their plan is the votes, I guess, because who would allow this to happen to our country? Yeah. They're allowing people from prisons and jails. They're allowing people from mental institutions and, you know, on steroids is insane asylums. I always say Silence of the Lambs. It's Hannibal Lecter, one of the spooky movies, I will tell you. But they're allowing people from mental institutions and prisons, and they're allowing terrorists into our country at levels never seen before. And Venezuela, I don't know if you saw, their crime is down 67%. I'm sure this makes you happy. Their crime is down 67% because they've gotten all their gang members and all the bad ones and the rough ones, and they put them into the United States. Can you believe this?
Well, it's not just the criminals that they are letting into this country, thousands of illegals every single day. It's also the weaponization of the judiciary. I still can't comprehend. I've seen you say it at Mar-a-Lago, at CPAC and elsewhere. You joke about what they're doing to you, the weaponization of the FBI and the judiciary. Our good friend and colleague, Kash Patel, and Lee Smith have theorized that the raid against you, sir, the only president to ever be raided by armed agents of the FBI, was over the binder of documents you declassified regarding the Russia hoax. Do you think that's why the FBI is coming after you with these absolutely political accusations and persecutions?
It could be. You don't know. It's very deeply seated. You know, when I fired Comey and a lot of other people, you know, I fired a lot of people that were bad for us, but Comey in particular, he was the head of the FBI, a disaster. It was a disaster. He was the one with Hillary Clinton where nothing rose to the occasion. They had her, so-called. But with me, I mean, if you take a look at what they did with her, you look at a double standard. I mean, the ultimate is Biden. He had many, many, many times more documents, more everything. He had no security, no nothing. They were on the garage floor of a flimsy garage with no Secret Service. I had Secret Service all over the place. He had his documents sent to Chinatown.
Yeah.
And those boxes were used. Did you look at those boxes?
I saw
those
the Zappos box.
Like
I saw
the daily basis.
The busted up Zappos box in which he kept top secret
information.
Absolutely.
I mean, you look at that. It was really. But you look at that as a double standard. You take a look. This is not justice. And they let him off the hook. And I did nothing wrong because I come under the Presidential Records Act. I did absolutely nothing wrong. Plus, Mar-a-Lago is a secure place, and you have Secret Service here because I'm president, and you have. And when I'm not president, I have a lot of Secret Service here, and all of the other things. And he gets off scot-free, and with me, I have to go through a process, but I think it's going to work out fine because I did nothing wrong coming under the Presidential Records Act, which he didn't come under. But think of it. They let him off scot-free and no problem. And with me, I have to go through a process. It's a disgrace what's happening in this country. The good news is the people see it. They see it. And we have the highest poll numbers I've ever had. I mean, that's good. We knocked off all the Republicans quickly in record time. You know, that was record time.
Yes.
I don't know if you keep score of things like that, but it was the fastest ever. And that's good. And now we're focused on one person, and that's Biden, Crooked Joe Biden, the worst president in the history of our country. We have never had a worse president. And, you know, I say oftentimes at a rally or wherever, if you took the 10, I used to say 5 worst. Now I say 10 worst. I think I could go up to 15 pretty soon. I think I will. If you took the 10 worst presidents and added them up, they wouldn't have done the damage that this man has done to our country.
But
and I think you believe that.
But do you think it's him? That there are lots of theories as to, I mean, you look at him, he's not cognitively competent. Who's really running the country? Is it Obama? Is it Jill? Is it the Obama flunkies across government? Who do you think's really destroying America?
I often ask the same question about him. Is it him? Because he's so out of it. You know, where does he even come up with ideas? I assume that's what you're talking
yes.
about, right?
Yes.
Because you're almost saying, like, as evil as it is, it's like ideas, and it's really bad stuff. And I'm not sure that it's him. I know he must approve it. They must look at him and say, can we do this? And he looks at him with a blank stare and says, yes, right? Nobody. It's the people in look, it's Lisa, and it's all these guys that surround that Oval desk. It's guys like Andrew Weissman that, you know, because she essentially works for him. And Lisa Monaco.
Monaco, yeah, at the Department of Justice.
She essentially works for him. So I would say it's her, and it's a group of people that surround that beautiful, resolute desk. I don't know if it's Biden. I don't know. To me, I don't see it because he's so out of it. You don't think he even thinks so. He just wants to go to sleep. But he's surrounded by people that are vicious and smart, and they've been after me for years, and they continue onward. And if they devoted the same energy and talent to making America great again, we'd be a much better country right now.
We discuss the question of how to stop the war in Ukraine. If you enjoy our deep dive with very special guests like President Trump, make sure you're registered for the podcast. It's free. Give us a 5-star review and share the links with your friends.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Greetings, this is Dr. Sebastian Gorka from the Midas Gold Group War Room. The MAGA veterans at Midas point out that the Federal Reserve note does not belong to you. It belongs to the Federal Reserve Bank. While the federal debt doesn't belong to the Federal Reserve Bank, it belongs to you. This is your wake-up call to what the Midas Gold Group veterans believe the central bank and government are trying to do, a controlled demolition of our current system with a central bank digital currency to take complete and utter control of our transactional freedoms, a literal digital concentration camp replete with social sanctions. Protect yourself. Turn this wake-up call into a phone call and look into the opportunities that gold can provide you as a way to diversify your investments. Call veteran-owned Midas Gold Group today, 855-322-GOLD, or go to MidasGoldGroup.com. That's 855-322-GOLD, or just go to MidasGoldGroup.com. Always faithful, Midas Gold Group, MAGA, and proud of it.
The U.S. Constitution, America first.
No wars for 4 years and then a world in chaos. How will President Trump stop the war in Ukraine? That's next. You talked about the security of Mar-a-Lago, the Secret Service protection you have. I just want to raise one issue that is of concern to serious individuals and patriots. My good friend Dan Bongino, who you know is a former Secret Service agent, both he and Alan Dershowitz, who's a Democrat on my show, have both voiced their serious concerns for your safety. Are you worried that the left are so insane with regards to Antifa, the normalization of violence, about you and your family's safety, Mr. President?
Well, I've found Secret Service to be great, and I watch it very closely. I think they're great people. I know many of the agents, and, you know, I've had many, many agents, and I find them to be doing a great job. I really, and I would tell you otherwise. I wouldn't even want them otherwise. They have really found, I think they're very outstanding people. Now, in every agency, you have people that aren't so outstanding, right? I mean, no matter what you do, no matter how you play it. But I found them to be terrific, absolutely.
Good. So the big news of the first 24 hours of your next presidency, if we make it happen, God willing, is what happens in Ukraine with regards to Russia. Could you talk to us about the art of the deal when it comes to stopping the bloodshed in Europe?
Sure. Before I do that, I just want to add one other thing on Secret Service.
Yes.
They just totally refuted the Cassidy Hutchinson,
yes,
who I barely knew. I wouldn't even know what she looks like, except I've seen her after the fact. But Cassidy Hutchinson's ridiculous story that I essentially attacked two Secret Service, nice, young, strong guys, I'm attacking them, in the front of, I think she called it the Beast, when it wasn't the Beast.
No.
It was a different kind of a car. But she originally, I believe, said it was the Beast. But think of it. She makes up this story. They refuted it in its entirety and strongly. Now, the problem is the J6 committee of, I call it the unselect committee. They're unselect. The unselect committee destroyed all the evidence and everything. They destroyed everything. I hear that Cassidy Hutchinson changed a lot of her testimony. And I say, what's going to happen to her? She made up testimony that I was attacking two very powerful, physically powerful people. And a lot of my friends said, oh, gee, I never knew you were that much into fighting. You know, I like watching UFC, but they didn't know. They said, I never knew you were that into fighting. But the whole thing was such a fake story, and it was made up. It was just made up. And Secret Service totally refuted it. And so I do want to say that because it's important.
Yes. 'Cause
I found them to be very reliable, very good. As far as Ukraine is concerned with Russia, number one, it should have never started. It would have never started. It wasn't going to happen. There was never any discussion. I did discuss with Putin on numerous occasions his love affair with Ukraine. I mean, it was the apple of his eye. He would have never done it when I was there. And there were certain reasons, very strong reasons, very, very strong reasons. He wouldn't have done it. And he wouldn't have done it for another, maybe more practical reason. I had oil way down at a very low point, energy, oil. And he makes most of his money from oil, and oil was low. When Biden came in, he upset the energy apple cart. You know, we were energy independent, and now we're not. We go begging for energy from everybody. We have more than anybody else, but we have to go begging. So when he came in, Sebastian, he screwed up energy. That caused inflation, but it also gave a lot of money to Russia. Now, I happen to think that, you know, in terms of they were making money hand over fist, at $40 a barrel, they don't do great. At $100 a barrel, they never saw anything like it. And that was for a long time. And now it's going up again. Oil is going up again, if you notice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going up very substantially, very quickly. But think of it. So he is making all of this money, and he goes in. But I happen to think that the horrible, most embarrassing day or moment in the history of our country was the withdrawal, the way we withdrew from Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And we left $85 billion worth of equipment behind. We lost 13 soldiers. What nobody ever talks about, we have 38 soldiers, 39 soldiers that were horrifically hurt. Hundreds of people were killed on both sides, hundreds. And we have American hostages still there. I mean, they're still there. That was the worst thing, and that showed such great incompetence that I happen to think that that really led to Putin saying, this is the time, let's go. These guys are incompetent. They don't know what they're doing. And he went into Ukraine. With that being said, it was easy then. It's much more difficult now. But the reason, the sad thing is we now have hundreds of thousands of dead people, and we have cities and a culture that's been blown up. I mean, many of those cities are gone. They were been wiped off those beautiful ancient towers of gold. They've been wiped off the planet. They could never be resurrected in that form. And that form was a beautiful form. So all of that is gone. And so nothing you can do now could ever have competed with the fact of no war. There would have never been a war. Not even to make a deal. I could have made a deal, but I wouldn't have even had to make a deal. Could have stayed the way it was. It would have never happened under me, under my administration. Okay, so now it's all done. Biden has made a mess of that like he has every other thing. You have hundreds of thousands of dead people, and you have cities that are blown to pieces. What do? We have to get both of them together, and I say, you got to get this thing done. You're going to get it done. And I will say certain things to each one of them that I wouldn't say to the rest of the world, and that's why I can't tell you much more than that, but I believe that I will get it done. I know Putin very well, and I know Zelensky fairly well. Zelensky was very honorable with the phone call because he said, no, I wasn't threatened at all. He could have played that out and made a big deal out of it. He said, I wasn't threatened at all by President Trump. It was a very nice call. I mean, that call turned out to be a perfect phone call. I called it. I mean, I actually called it. And they knew it because they had the laptop from hell. But anyway, but he played it very honorable. You know, he could have, you understand what I mean, Sebastian.
Yes.
He could have grandstanded, I felt threatened, et cetera, et cetera. He wasn't threatened at all. And he said that, which destroyed their case, their no case, because fortunately they had that call recorded. And once they had the recording, that whole thing died, and it died fast. But what a shame that the country has to go through all that by these dishonest guys like Schiff, Shifty Schiff. He is so bad. And to think he'll possibly and probably be a senator is so disgraceful to this country. It's such a downer for this country to have a guy like that in the Senate who's lied and everything else. But I would get them together, and I would make a deal, and I'll get it done. And I know exactly what to say, but if I say it to you or if I say it to the public, I can't say it anymore. But it's a chess match. You know, it's a giant, very important chess match. It's a poker game. And we got to get it done. Biden said the worst things. I mean, initially, he was just, I don't blame anybody other than Putin, and I don't blame anybody other than the people involved. But Biden was so bad in terms of not stopping it. He could have stopped that easily. But everything he said was almost the opposite of what he should have been saying. He is not much of a chess player. They're good at cheating on elections, but they're not good at a lot of other things. That I can tell you.
Next, we discuss the war in the Middle East. Don't forget to follow us on social media on all the relevant platforms. Just look for Seb Gorka or Sebastian Gorka. And if you want to join us for an amazing July 4th weekend, check out the Patriots Alaska Cruise at sebgorka.com. That's SEBGORKA, June 29th to July 6th, the Patriots Alaska Cruise. Stay with us for more from President Trump here on America First with me, Sebastian Gorka. Did you know that 84% of New Year's resolutions fail in the first 6 weeks? That's got me thinking about PhD weight loss and nutrition and why it was a success for me. Why I haven't gained 1 pound of my 42-pound weight loss back. Why Jeff, my producer, decided to start the program. Most people blame their failure on a lack of time, motivation, and a loss of zeal. PhD makes it simple. It doesn't take a lot of extra time. They are masters of motivation. You have a team of coaches by your side the whole time, and you don't lose your zeal because every week you make great strides, so you stay excited. Do something different this year and call PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition, 864-644-1900. To get started, or online at myphdweightloss.com. Don't do this alone. The number, 864-644-1900, myphdweightloss.com.
America First, Magnificent.
Why do the Democrats hate Israel so much? Or is it Bibi Netanyahu? That's next here with President Trump. It's not just Ukraine, however, Mr. President. We now have a war in the Middle East. For 4 years, there was no war under your tenure as commander-in-chief. You have proven yourself to be the most pro-Israel, most philo-Semitic president since the rebirth of Israel in 1948. You moved the embassy. You recognized Jerusalem. It's one of my great regrets that I was invited to the reopening of the new embassy that Ambassador Friedman created in Jerusalem. I couldn't go. Could you explain why is it seemingly that this administration, including Chuck Schumer in the Senate, hate the man that Israel chose as their prime minister? Why do the Democrats hate Bibi Netanyahu?
I actually think they hate Israel.
Yes.
I don't think they hate him. I think they hate Israel. And the Democrat Party hates Israel. And the Democrat Party, if you remember, when many Israeli representatives, including Netanyahu, when they came to the country trying, begging, at that time President Obama, please don't make the Iran nuclear deal, which is a disaster and was a disaster. And I ended it. But unfortunately, they didn't do anything with the ending of it. I ended it and would have had a new deal made with Iran. It would have been good for everybody, and there would have been no nuclear weapons. You know, they're very close to getting a nuclear weapon right now.
Yes.
And once they have that, it becomes a different form of negotiation, a much more difficult negotiation. But I really believe they hate Israel, and they also see a lot of votes. Don't forget, when you see those Palestinian marches, even I'm amazed at how many people are in those marches. And guys like Schumer see that. And to him, it's votes. I think it's votes more than anything else, because he was always pro-Israel. He's very anti-Israel now. Any Jewish person that votes for Democrats hates their religion. They hate everything about Israel. And they should be ashamed of themselves, because Israel would be destroyed. You have Iran now making a nuclear weapon. None of that would have happened with me. That's a big thing. With me, Iran was broke. They were absolutely stone cold broke. There was no terrorism because they didn't have money to fund Hamas and Hezbollah and the other 28 groups. They had no money. They were stone cold broke. China couldn't buy oil from them. None of the countries were buying oil for them at my order. They didn't buy it. I said, you buy it, you're not going to do business with the United States of America. They said, we'll pass. And they didn't buy oil. And they were broke. Now they have $221 billion, including the $6 billion that we gave them for hostages.
Yeah.
Okay? We gave them $6 billion, including the $10 billion that we gave them so that Iraq could get electricity. How about that? We gave them $10 billion so Iraq gets electricity, and Iraq wants to throw us out. The whole thing is crazy. These people are the worst. There's something wrong with them. They are the worst negotiators. All they're good at is evil. They're evil people.
Yeah.
They're sick. They're evil. They weaponized the Justice Department to get Trump. But Russia and all these other countries can do whatever they want to the United States. China is like, we're like a puppet for China now. He doesn't do anything with China because they gave him so much money. He's a Manchurian candidate. Look, he's the worst president in the history of our country by 10 times. There has never been anything like it. Jimmy Carter is the only one happy because he is a brilliant president compared to Biden.
Do you think
that brilliant, totally brilliant president compared to Joe Biden?
Do you think that it's actually because they're compromised, the likes of Schiff that you mentioned, Biden? Do you think the Chinese have something on them?
I think they have them on Biden, I think they have it on Biden. Probably have it on Schiff, too. But I think they have something on Biden. I think there's no reason that Biden could be so weak with China. There's no reason. It's pathetic. He's a Manchurian candidate, I'm telling you. It's ridiculous. And frankly, until they did the I would never speak in such harsh tones about the presidency because I have such respect for it. But when they indicted me on all of this nonsense, including local stuff, everything, you know, you saw where Fani or the boyfriend or both went to the Justice Department and the White House, had long meetings, 8-hour meetings, numerous days. This was all planned. This was all done by the White House. And when they did that, I say, well, now I can just talk freely in the way I want to talk. He's the worst president in history. There has never been worse. Our country is in trouble, and our democracy is in trouble because of him for a number of reasons, including the fact that he's incompetent. But for a number of reasons, our democracy is in tremendous trouble because of Joe Biden.
Well, let's talk
about... He's weaponized the Justice Department against his political opponent, something that was unthought of for our country. Very, very commonly used in third world countries, by the way.
It's police state tactics. It's police state tactics. That's why, the FBI now stands for Fascist Bureau of Intimidation, truly. You're listening to a very special interview with President Trump by me, Sebastian Gorka, here on America First, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, it's real, it works, it is liberating over a million Americans from their daily pain, me included. Yes, I had a low back pain issue that plagued me for 9 years, almost a decade. I took Relief Factor, and 2 weeks later, I was pain-free, and I'm still pain-free more than 5 years later. That's crazy. Find out for yourself. Call their number 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com and order your 3-week quick starter pack today. Ask yourself one very simple question. What do I have to lose? If the only answer is the pain, well, then you know what to do. Write down this number, 1-800-4-RELIEF. Go to relieffactor.com. That's 1-800-473-5433. Relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. If we do our part, President Trump will be the 47th president of the United States. Will he be able to drain the swamp, to fix, reform the FBI, the CIA, and the rest of the deep state? That's our next question. Stay with us here on America First. Our God-given freedoms are facing unrelenting attacks. It's a battle for truth, and the only way we win is if we stand together. Thankfully, the Alliance Defending Freedom has been defending our rights for 30 years and winning. Right now, they're involved in two critical cases before the Supreme Court. They're suing the FDA for endangering the health and safety of women and girls, and in the second case, they're assisting the state of Idaho to defend its law protecting the lives of women and their unborn children against the Biden administration's attempt to override the law and force doctors to perform abortions. And they need your help. With your best gift, you courageously join ADF in fighting critical Supreme Court cases against government lawlessness and help defend our cherished freedoms. Call 855-374-4767 right now, or go to sebgorka.com and click on the ADF banner. With your help, I've pledged to raise $35,000 by March 31st for ADF. Go to sebgorka.com or call 855-374-4767 to make your best gift right now. I know with your help, we can beat that goal and help make a generational difference for freedom.
On that spring morning, I wore a shirt that got right to the point. There are only two genders. My principal pulled me out of class. I was told that people were complaining about the words on my shirt. It was enough to silence my speech. I was told that I would need to change my shirt before I could return to class. Rather than respecting my right to free speech, officials chose to censor me. That's why, with the help of Alliance Defending Freedom and the Massachusetts Family Institute, we filed a lawsuit calling on the court to hold my school accountable for violating my constitutional freedoms.
12-year-old Liam from Massachusetts fighting for his First Amendment rights. Who's helping them? The Alliance Defending Freedom. Please support them on my website. That's sebgorka.com and the ADF banner, or call them on 855-374-4767. Let's get back to our special interview today with President Trump. How will he drain the swamp? Let's talk about our side for a moment. The last time we met in person at Mar-a-Lago, I asked you about Rona Romney McDaniel, and you swore me to secrecy. You said, we're getting rid of her. Finally, Lara has taken over. I'm very excited that the person I mentioned to you, Scott Pressler, has been hired by Lara and the RNC. But I have to ask you, are we there, Mr. President? Have we arrived? Is the Republican Party now MAGA? Is it America First? Finally, or is it still full of rhinos?
95% MAGA, and you know, when I get a kick out of it, you saw how quickly we disposed of my competition. That's because it's a MAGA party. It's Make America Great Again. We want our country to be great again. We're not a great country right now. We're left at all over the world. We owe $35 trillion. The whole thing is crazy. We are not. When I see us giving billions and billions of dollars to Taiwan and other countries. You know, Taiwan, don't forget, Taiwan stole our chip industry. We had 100% of the chip industry. Now they have 95% of the chip industry. They're a very wealthy country. And I'm all for Taiwan. I'm all for everybody. But why are we giving them $16 billion, okay? They should be giving us $16 billion. Why are we giving them $16 billion? I'm for make America great again. It's very simple. Make America great again. And I'm not for handing out, parceling money. We had the greatest border, the strongest border in the history of our country. We had the greatest economy in the history of our country. We rebuilt the military. We had no wars other than I finished the ISIS war. We took over, as you know, better than anybody. You speak about it better than anybody. We took out 100% of the ISIS caliphate. I did it in 4 weeks instead of 5, 6, 7 years, which is what I was told it would take if we could do it at all. I did it in 4 weeks. We have a great military. And you don't have to worry about our military going woke. They're not going to go woke. But the top people would like it to. But they don't have the strength to make our military. Our military is not woke, and it's not going to be woke. But they would like to try, and they are trying. They had Milley and these guys. They are trying. Amazingly, they're trying to make our military weak.
If you are back in the White House, as I said when I was working for you, I stole a phrase from the Marine Corps to explain your foreign policy, which is no better friend, no worse enemy. So, you know, the world will be stable. There'll be no more, new wars, and our friends, our allies will feel secure. My question is, what happens internally, Mr. President? Because we see you facing 700 years in prison on trumped-up charges. We see Catholics being surveilled by the FBI because they go to Latin Mass. We see a quarter of a million of illegal warrantless surveillance on people who simply are supporters of you, Mr. President. How hard is it going to be to drain the corrupt officials and the permanent bureaucrats inside the intelligence community, the FBI and the DOJ? Because changing the leadership will not be enough, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, the leaders are going to have to make those changes, and they're going to have to do a very complete job. I made a lot of changes, but that swamp is deep. Look, Comey was a big change. You know, getting rid of Comey was not something that was and I did it very early. You know, a lot of people said you should have done it sooner. Well, you know, I did it very early, within a few months. And I saw that with Hillary Clinton, what he did, how he did that. The whole Hillary thing was so sad. And indirectly, it ended up hurting her. You know why? Because the FBI revolted on him. When he went up there and he started saying all of the bad things she did, the FBI revolted on him. I think they would have literally gone out. That was what was happening. And then he went back and he said, well, let me rethink it, essentially, right? And he had to redo everything. But no, Comey was bad news. I got him out. I got a lot of people out, many, many people out. But it's deep. It runs deep, and we'll do it. We were interrupted by a thing called the China virus.
Yeah.
And, you know, we did a great job in that. Never got the credit for the job we did. I ended up handing over a stock market that was higher than just previous to COVID coming in. I did a great job in that. We had empty cupboards from past administrations. And it wasn't me. We had empty cupboards. We didn't have anything. We didn't have gowns. We didn't have masks. We didn't have anything. We didn't have ventilators. We became the king of ventilators. We made them literally. We ended up making them for the whole world. But we did a great job in that. But it was a big interruption, obviously. The one interesting thing, I told you this once before. When I came to Washington, I was a New York person, New York developer. I knew New York very well, but I was only in Washington 17 times, didn't know a lot of people, etc. And I came in and I got to know the people. I know them now. I think I know. I know the good ones and the dumb ones and the smart ones and the bad ones. And I know the people. I know that whole world now very well. And we have unbelievable people that are going to go in and people that are loyal to our country. I don't want them to be loyal to me. I want them to be loyal to our country.
Talking of your picks, I've been told who you are considering as vice president. I've been told I can't announce it until it's official. When are you thinking of making that announcement, sir?
No hurry. And there is no one person. I mean, I'll tell you, there are numerous people. But we have a lot of great people in the Republican Party. We have a lot of great people that nobody ever heard of in the Republican Party, you know, that are excellent senators that not a lot of people know. I think it's probably good to have somebody with some political experience because you learn a lot about a person that's not, you know, this politics is a cleansing action. You understand what I mean, Sebastian.
Yes.
It's a cleansing action. And You know, you pick a politician, but then you look at a guy. Take a look at Schiff. Look how dirty he is, how filthy dirty he is, and yet he's allowed to ride along and maybe become a senator soon. It's crazy. It's crazy. It shouldn't be allowed to happen.
No, absolutely corrupt. The most mendacious person on Congress, and that takes some doing. One segment left with President Trump. The most important question, the deepest question of all. Why on earth is he running again after what they did to him the first time? You're listening to a very special one-on-one with me, Sebastian Gorka, and President Donald J. Trump. Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. After he invented the world's best pillow, he created the famous Giza Dream Sheets. They are the best sheets you will ever sleep on. For a limited time, you'll get a queen-size set for $59.98, king-size for $69.98, the lowest prices in history. Mike and the My Pillow Company continue to be canceled by big box stores and attacked by the media. They appreciate all of your great support during these times and want to thank you by giving you the best specials on all their products. To get those specials, go to MyPillow.com or call 800-829-8468, promo code G-O-R-K-A. You get the famous Giza Dream Sheets, queen size $59.98 and king size for $69.98. You'll also get 60% off the original My Slippers. So call 800-829-8468 or go to MyPillow.com. Promo code G-O-R-K-A. Last question, sir. I was in the ballroom at Mar-a-Lago in November 22 when you announced your re-election campaign launch. And despite having worked for you and been in the White House, it was like a gut punch halfway through that speech that I recommend all of our listeners and viewers watch, because it struck me that you are prepared to do it again after everything they put you through, the calumny, the smears, the lies, the attacks on you, your wife, your children. Would you explain, you know, you could have gone back to your world, you know, global business, the real estate, the golf courses, lived your life as a private citizen. Why on earth would you wish to put yourself and your family through this again for another 4 years?
And by the way, if I did that, or if I were in third, fourth, fifth, or seventh, or eighth, or 10th, or 15th place, like some of these people, like Asa Hutchinson, where he never registered at one point, I don't think. Yeah. I mean, he was at zero, and he ran for a year. If I was there, I would have never been indicted. I would have, I call them Biden. They're not indictments. They're Biden indictments. It's weaponization, and it's a disgrace. But none of that stuff, none of the things that I have going right now against, you know, the horrible persecution, none of that would have happened, but that's okay. Ultimately, the reason is simple. I love our country. I see the potential in our country. I know how well we did in the last election, much better than I did in the first. Do you know, if I felt that I lost the last election, I would never have run. But we won the last election by a lot. And I'm running because of that and because of the fact that we have still tremendous potential. But we have to bring it back because we're at the abyss. We have tremendous potential. We're going to make America great again. It's a very simple theme, make America great again. That's why I'm doing this. And we can do it, and we can do it quickly. We have to do things that are going to be tough and strong, but we can do it quickly. They've set our country on a course that it will self-destruct very quickly. It's a disaster what's going on. The only thing good is the stock market. And many people have said, many analysts have said, one of the best analysts said, the only reason the stock market's up is because Trump, it looks like he's going to get elected. And if he were not elected, the stock market would crash like 1929. I happen to believe that. So I'm make America great again.
Is that Scott Bessent you're talking about?
I think he's fantastic. He's a very respected guy, right? So, and Scott did indeed say that, yes.
So I want to thank you for staying with us for the whole hour. God bless you. Our very best to Melania and everyone at Mar-a-Lago and at Trump headquarters. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Sebastian.
God bless.
Thank you.
Well, there you have it. President Trump for the whole hour. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you want to share the interview with your friends. And then tell the world that you understand and you want President Trump back. Fly the flag that says it all. I stand with 45 Trump 2024. Get yours today at our store, sebgorkastore.com. And also, the latest T-shirt. We discussed Lake and Riley with the president. It's her photograph with a very simple phrase. Say her name, Laken Riley. Wow, what an hour. Two down, one to go. And next, well, it's Monday. It's the Manhood Hour with a new guest to the show. Stay with us here on America First with me, Sebastian Gorka. What an America First day. We open the show with my first guest, my former colleague, the editor-in-chief at Breitbart.com, that conservative juggernaut. Then we interview my former boss, President Trump, for a whole hour. And now I get to turn the tables on the man who thinks he can just be a radio host on Breitbart News every morning and just interview me. Every Thursday, not so fast, Mike Slater. Welcome to the Manhood Hour, Mike.
Hold on. We have a lot to talk about. Who were your guests already?
Alex Marlowe. He runs something called Breitbart. And then a man who's the leader of the opposition, got 64 million votes back in 2016, and then got, 80 million votes a year, 4 years later. Have you heard of him? His name's Donald Trump.
Oh. That's the lead-in for me. What a drop-off.
No pressure, Mike.
And also, just real quick, you are gracious enough, and I don't know how you do everything you already do, to join us every Thursday at 8 o'clock. And I'm not just saying this, I feel like Thursday at 8 is like a safe space where I go and I can sit at your feet and ask you questions about anything, and you answer in your wisdom. And then you asked me to come on your show, and this makes no sense to me. So, I'm way more comfortable asking questions and trying to learn than I am imparting any sort of wisdom. So, but we'll see how this goes.
Well, hopefully 50 minutes from now, the logic will be apparent to you. But I'm going to open the kimono now. And I think I told you this. Maybe I told you this on the air because we've been doing it for a while now. Because I was doing it every Thursday with my buddy, Alex Marlowe, who was on the show earlier. And then for some reason, he doesn't like to get up at 2 a.m. or something, he said, I'm not going to do the show anymore. I'm going to run this thing I'm supposed to be running. I thought, what a loser. Anyway, no, seriously, that guy was, I think, remains one of the hardest working guys in media. And then he said, we're getting a replacement host, and I hope you'll stay on every Thursday. I thought, well, if it's somebody I know, like Joel Pollack or one of the Breitbart team, and then they give it to some guy called Mike Slater, and I think I didn't come on the show for a couple of weeks, and then I reached out and I said, I miss my Thursday mornings. I like being interviewed as well, so let's do it. And I have to say, it has been such a breath of fresh air, because we didn't know each other. I had no expectations. And then you're very unusual, and this isn't just me talking, because I have regularly, every week, I have Lord Conrad Black on the show. And as everybody can attest to here, I usually introduce him, and I had him on my Newsmax show on Sunday, and I said the same thing. I say, Lord Conrad Black is the kind of person I'd like to be if I ever grow up. I mean, this is an intellectual giant, a man who can talk to you about basically anything, and just finished writing a 1,000-page first volume of the history of Western civilization, which you interviewed him on. And after he went on your show, he just told me, just out of nowhere, I went on that Breitbart show, and that host, he was really good, really quite an educated. Eric said, they can vouch for me, before we had him on the show last week, he said, quite an educated chap. Now when Lord Conrad Black calls anyone educated, you can retire at that point and just give yourself multiple PhDs. So you're doing.
I focused on the word chap. out of that descriptor. But you're right. Educate is probably the more important part of that. We stopped talking last week, and I got done, and I was like, I blew that. That stunk. This guy thinks I'm a total idiot. So I'm really glad that
you clearly didn't. So for those who are new to Mike Slater, don't know about your background, talk to us about who you are, what you've done, because I want to hear about the educational components as well. And I don't care if you're an autodidact or you're homeschooled, because your radio functions at a different level. It's not your average radio show. So tell us about who Mike Slater is.
Yeah, I'll give you the quick and stop me when I'm bored, when this is boring. I grew up in Syracuse, New York. I was a swimmer my whole life. That's pretty much how I got into Yale. So that's where I went to college. My mom is a flaming on fire progressive.
Wow.
Loves Hillary Clinton, despises Donald Trump, the works. My dad, he passed away about 10, 11 years ago, but he was more of a conservative guy. So we grew up in a split home, went to college, pretty conservative, but not too much. But I always wanted to get into radio because when I would drive to swim practice about 40 minutes, my mom would drive me to swim practice in school, and whatever the guy on the radio was talking about, the local guy, Jim Reith was his name, whatever he talked about on the radio, that's what I wanted to talk about. Or that's what we talked about at dinner that night. So I grew up wanting to be that guy.
And
guy
what was he? Well, I presume because your mom was driving, he was a lefty.
Yeah, totally. Like, he was like a local-y guy who was definitely more on the left, but like would have hated Trump. Like definitely not a MAGA. He wasn't a Sebastian Gorka. I mean, so he was like a lefty guy. But I didn't really know, right? I just wanted to help start conversation. So the greatest compliment anyone ever gives is when they tell me they listen in the car with their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell them I'm the only radio host I think who will say if your kid asks you a question about something they hear on the radio, you turn the radio off. And you have that conversation. We'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah.
But don't miss those opportunities with your kids. So I was in school, and I got more and more conservative because the place was insane.
Before we talk about that, what was it about? I mean, you're sitting in the car going to swim meets, but what touched you about radio? Why did you like radio?
Oh, that's such a good question. Okay, so it was Jim. So first of all, it was something my mom and I could both listen to. So that was interesting. That was unique. But then it was Glenn Beck. And the way that Glenn Beck told stories, he was a remarkable storyteller. Sort of like who's the and now you know the rest of the story.
Paul Harvey.
Yes, yeah, thank you. Yeah. Paul Harvey. Yeah. And the way he could weave a story, I thought was just like such a beautiful art form and so incredibly personal. Radio is an incredibly personal medium, way more than TV. TV, you get power. Radio, you get a deep connection with someone. I'll never forget this. This was pretty early in my radio career in Jackson, Tennessee. That was my first radio job. Small town, market like 297 or whatever. And we were the Slater Raiders. That was like our name of Rush's Ditto Heads. We were the Slater Raiders. And some guy called me on the way to the hospital as his wife was about to give birth to their first child. And he was so excited. He said he had to call someone, and he called into our radio show. And it was our very first. That was the beginning of the Slater Taters. That was the beginning, like kids who listened to the show. And I was like, wow, like what just happened there? Like, that's really interesting that this guy felt such a personal connection that he wanted to call into a radio show and announce this wonderful news. And I was like, oh, this is it. Like, this is so cool. Radio.
What is it? Because I've always loved radio since I was a kid. What is it for you that makes it so intimate? Is it the live with the call-in? What? I mean, because it is a completely different medium. It's unique.
Yeah, I think it's the unrehearsedness of it.
Yes.
It's the pacing of it. It's slow. It's slower. I like that, right? Like, TV is very... You got 30. Like, I hate going on Fox News. I really do. Sorry if there's any Fox News.
You mean you don't like having to solve an issue in 180 seconds, Mike?
180. They don't give me 180. They give me 30 on a panel with two other jokers. And it's like, what a waste. Like, this is so stupid. And I just find that actually kind of insulting. So the idea that you can sit down with a Lord Conrad Black for a half an hour and talk about a thing in depth, like, that's really, right? And then you can get, I don't know if that's too radio insidey, but you can get low. You can like talk to this microphone. If you're watching on the TV now, you can like really talk to this microphone really personally, and you can tell a story slowly and take your time and like really pull out the important things that you can't do on a TV because you got to go, and you need, things got to come in and flash. And it's like, that's not for me. So I love radio, and I want to be in it forever.
All right. Well, you've definitely got a skill, and in fact, you are quite unique amongst radio hosts because you've actually got a little bit of the gray matter upstairs. We're talking to Mike Slater, host of Breitbart News Daily, Sirius XM. Follow him on Twitter at Slater Radio. That's Slater Radio. He's the author of two books. We're going to try and touch upon both of them. The first is Imagine Jack, a child's book, Imagine Jack and the History Kids. And one I'm really interested in, How to Change Someone's Mind. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is the Manhood Hour. If you enjoy what we've just discussed, the deep dive, the real discussions with experts, with newsmakers, then make sure that you subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. Whichever platform you prefer, it matters not which to me, Salem, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher. Just look for my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Plug in my name, give us a 5-star review, and share the links with your friends so the truth gets out there. And especially after the second hour with the president, if you want him back, if you want to have prosperity, security, if you want to have borders, fly the flag that says it all. I stand with 45, Trump 2024. Get yours today and all the America First merch at SebGorkaStore.com, especially the latest item. I think it's the most important we've had in 5 years. Just a T-shirt with a photograph. Say her name, Laken Riley. That's SebGorkaStore.com and support the president directly at DonaldJTrump.com.
Dr. G is ready for anything on America First.
As we mentioned, a very important First Amendment case in front of the Supreme Court today. If you think that, the First Amendment is sacrosanct and must be protected and fought for, I ask you to join us in our campaign to support the Alliance Defending Freedom. Whether it's that young boy we told you about in the first hour, Liam, who was punished by his Middlebrook school in Massachusetts because he dared to wear a T-shirt that said there are only two genders, or whether it's Jack the Cake Baker, we have to fight for our freedom of speech and our freedom of conscience, sometimes all the way to the Supreme Court. And that's expensive. But the Alliance Defending Freedom doesn't charge their clients a penny because they know they're fighting for all of us. Will you make those cases possible and those victories probable? Please go to my website, SebGorka.com, and click on the Stand with ADF banner. Please make a donation today of whatever amount. But if it's $100, you're actually making a huge difference in the protection of all of our civil liberties in front of the Supreme Court. You can call in your tax-deductible donation, 855-374-4767, or just go to my website, SebGorka.com. That's SebGorka, SebGorka.com, and the Stand with Alliance Defending Freedom banner, or call 855-374-4767. We're back. It's the Manhood Hour with the first time ever on the show, the one, the only, Mike Slater of Breitbart News Daily. Every morning, follow him at Slater Radio. All right, so we'd like to get to know our guests here on the Manhood Hour before we go to deep dive on the big questions. So you had a kind of politically divided home, mom, super lib, listening to talk radio, however, on the way to the swim meets. You get into Yale as a swimmer. You're kind of nascent conservative. And then what happens?
Yale was back. I graduated in 2007. It was a crazy place. And I was like, this place is insane. Actually, this is interesting. This is very relevant for you. I went to a speech by John Bolton on campus. And I was so appalled at the response he received from all the students. Banging on desks like monkeys. It was crazy. Banging on desks. You remember when you went to, when you were in Oxford the other day?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like people are like pretty tame. Like, these people were absolute animals. Screaming at him, hissing at him. It was crazy. So I wrote an editorial in the Yale Daily News about just how insane everyone was. And then I was invited on, these two girls had like a conservative radio show host at Yale. I don't know. Right. And they invited me on. And as soon as they turned the microphone on, I was like, boom, I love this. I'm doing this the rest of my life. That's the end of that.
But you were the guest, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they just had me on. I don't remember what I said or I don't remember anything about it. I literally remember the microphone turning on and instantly loving it. And I went right to the program director and said, this is going into my senior year. I was too afraid to do a show of my own, right? But this got me behind the mic. And I asked the program director, I said, can I stick around this summer and do a show? He's like, yeah, sure, of course. Like, whatever, while we're here. And I did it. And I've done it ever since. And I hope to do it forever. My crazy Yale story, I was walking through cross campus, like the middle of campus where they always have like these weird displays or whatever. And they had a big setup called Tolerance Village. And it was
I can't even begin setup. To, man. Tolerance Village. Okay, carry on.
Yeah, you're with me. You paint this picture here. And they were like, it's like plywood set up to look like cities, like a city, skyscrapers and buildings. Like that. So, of course, I'm with my buddy. And I was like, we got to go to Tolerance Village. Like, nothing's more important than right now walking, taking a stroll through Tolerance Village. So we walk through and it's like, you know, universal healthcare and, you know, stop eating meat or whatever. It's like all the progressive causes. Yeah. And one of them was barless prisons.
I'm like,
all right. So I like find the nearest like purple haired lady. It's like, what are we talking about? Like, what do you mean barless prisons? She explained it's not humane, whatever. I said, well, how do you propose to keep the criminals in? And she said, shrubbery.
No. Now, that's Monty Python. Fetch me a shrubbery.
Dr. Gorgon. Now listen, that was crazy. But now that I tell that story, I haven't told the story in a long time. I think they just bypassed the shrubbery and now they just don't put anyone in prison. Mm-hmm. So maybe that girl was actually like pretty hardcore. She was pretty tough on crime actually these days. At least she was implying that there should still be a place where criminals go. Now we don't even put the criminals there. We just send them out. So she was probably pretty conservative now amongst people of it. But Yale was crazy. So
in addition to the, you know, crazy Looney Tunes cities with the little model prisons with no bars, what about in the classroom? Because was it as bad in the classroom?
No, it actually wasn't. All right, here's the thing about Yale. My experience at Yale is it's really hard to get in. And once you're in, it's impossible to fail.
Yeah.
I found the academic rigor, and I was not one of academic rigor, so I wasn't complaining when I was there. But looking back on it, it was pretty pitiful, actually.
Yeah. I had a year at Harvard and grade inflation doesn't quite encompass the what you're talking about.
No. I was at one course that was taught by Stephen Brill. He was the founder of Court TV and it was a small seminar. There were like 12 people in it. And the girl sitting right next to me, she said, I get my news from The Daily Show. So it's like there was no like real academic rigor or like discussions. Like, right. So it was just nothing. It was just nothing.
But you clearly have a philosophical bent and a historic mind. So is that just your own personal reading? Where does that come from?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. School ruined reading for me because you had to read like constantly all the time. So I didn't read until like 5 years later. And I didn't read anything until 5 years after school. And I was like, all the people who I admire, they all read. They read all the time.
Yeah.
So I was like, I got to start reading. So that's when I started reading a lot. And learning and thinking about economics, like, you know, all the great, like Milton Friedman and Hazlitt and Mises, like that was like my first cutting of teeth was economics. And then I became a Christian about 11 years ago. And that's when the social aspect of it. I used to do the goofy thing, which is such a ridiculous sentence looking back on it. But I think a lot of people said it. I'm a social liberal, but a fiscal conservative.
Mm-hmm,
remember people saying that?
Oh, yeah.
I'm a fiscal conservative, but social liberal, which is a way of saying, like, I want to lower taxes, but I'm really a good person.
Yeah.
Like, don't be mad at me. I'm still nice. And like, that's so absurd. So then once I became a Christian, obviously the soul and that, like that idea of a soul.
Then you grew up. That's when you become a man. We're talking to our good buddy, Mike Slater, host of Breitbart News Daily on Sirius XM. Follow him at Slater Radio. If 15 hours with me every week is simply not enough, if you're at a loose end this July 4th, then Why don't you join us for the trip of a lifetime, especially if you missed our trip to Israel a year ago. It's the Patriots Alaska Cruise with you, our dear listeners. We took 350 of our listeners to the Holy Land. Now it's a little bit closer to home. An amazing trip, June 29th to July 6th. Check out the itinerary at my website, sebgorka.com. You'll be traveling with hundreds of patriots who love this country as much as you do. I'll be there with my muse, Katie. We'll be there with our Salem colleagues, Jennifer Horn, Mike Gallagher, Chris DeGar, for the trip of a lifetime. More than 240 cabins already gone. So don't miss out. It's just a deposit, $50 off today if you choose your cabin. Don't miss out, especially for those of you who couldn't make it to our trip to Israel over a year ago. Go to sebgorka.com and click right now on the banner that says Patriots Alaska Cruise. Don't forget to follow me on all social media. Look for my name, Seb Gorka, on Truth Social, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Parler, Getter. Don't forget as well my Substack, unique content by me and direct access to me, sebastiangorka.substack.com. That's my whole name is one word, sebastiangorka.substack.com. We'll be back with Mike in a moment.
Looking at you, Snowflake. America first.
What a great line. All the people I admire read a lot. Yeah, that should tell you something. If you enjoy the deep dives, if you just want to support us here, this isn't NPR. We don't get $500 million of your taxpayer money. This is a free market enterprise. Support those who make it possible. Great patriots like Mike Lindell, also a friend of the president. The left detests him and want to destroy him. It's another reason to support him. Yes, he's the inventor of MyPillow, the pillow that never gets hot, never loses shape. There's a reason he sold it. More than 81 million of them, because they are that good. But did you know he's got hundreds of other items on his website? You name it, including, let's talk about your furry friends, the MyPillow pet beds. Our latest canine, Titus, he stole Killian's MyPillow pet bed simply because it is far too comfy. Whether it's your dogs, your cats, or your wife, get her a pair of pajamas from MyPillow. I love the sheepskin lined slippers. MyPillow.com, get up to 2/3 off and free shipping. There is no better deal than that. Don't buy that Chinese junk on Amazon. Call up a human being. 800-829-8468, MyPillow.com. That's 800-829-8468, MyPillow.com. But you've got to use the secret code. I think you know what it is. G-O-R-K-A. We're back with our good buddy, Mike Slater of the Breitbart News Sirius XM Morning Show. Follow him at Slater Radio. Okay, let's dive in, Mike. How bad is the war on classical masculine values, in your opinion?
Oh. Oh, wow. How bad? How do you define how bad something is? Has it been worse? That's a better question. When has it ever been worse? At the very least, we are unmoored. I was just thinking about this analogy that I was talking about, a different C.S. Lewis analogy. But this one popped in my head, so this is relevant here. So C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity talks about ships and how three things need to happen in order for a journey to be successful. First, each ship has to be seaworthy. It can't sink. Ships can't be bumping into each other. That's not going to work. And you got to know where we're all going. If half the fleet ends up in New York and the other half ends up in Calcutta, then that's not a successful journey. So all three things need to be in order for it to all function. All three are gone. Like we're totally lost and totally unmoored. We have no idea where we're going. We're bumping into each other all the time. And we have, individual ships aren't even seaworthy. Now, the unmoored almost implies, like, we just sort of forgot and lost focus. I think that's where we were for maybe, like, 20 years or something. We're just sort of, like, we're just kind of going along to get along. But now I think the ships have been completely, like, pirated and commandeered and being driven to wickedness and evil.
Yeah.
So that's how bad things are right now. Is that an answer?
That's perfect. I love that. Mere Christianity is one of the books that should be on every man's reading list. And what is the to use a military term, the center of gravity? What's the epicenter, the focal point of that assault on classic masculine values? Is it academe? Is it the quote-unquote elites? Is it the teacher training, colleges, social media? If we could deal a death blow to one of those propagators of ideology, which should we start with?
I am wholly I don't want to say wholly. I wish I was wholly concerned. But my top priority is the soul. It is impoverished.
Yeah.
Who did I read this to the other day? Theodore Dalrymple, perhaps?
Mm-hmm. Amazing author. Amazing author.
I think it was him. He said, I traveled the world. I've been to Africa. I've been to all these countries. I was a prison psychologist for decades in the poor slums of England. And he's seen the worst and the worst. And he said, I can say without a doubt that the most spiritually, emotionally, intellectually, but it was all these words, like mostly like soul related, impoverished peoples are Westerners.
Yeah.
We're the materialistically richest and the soul-based, most impoverished. I was talking to this guy. He's one of the foremost psychologists. His name's Baumeister or something. I don't know. He wrote a book with John Tierney, who's great, and this other guy, I forget. But he's like one of the top psychologists. And I asked him a question. This is years ago, like 4 years ago. And I asked him a question. So what is your studies? What has it uncovered about the soul? Whatever the question was. I mentioned the soul. And he said, oh, we don't deal with the soul. And I said, you're a psychologist, which literally means the study of the soul.
Yeah.
Is what the word means. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, we don't study that. It's just the brain. So I think the we can get into a whole thing here. I think the biggest lie, one of the biggest lies in our world today that I think then is like a ball rolling down the hill is evolution.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So if you want to go, like the idea that if you grow up in a world where you think something came from nothing, it's all meaningless. It just happened to be this way.
Right.
Like,
hold that thought, because that you've opened a whole can of worms and I want to dissect
that.
I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, the Manhood Hour, coming to you from the relieffactor.com studios, just outside the insalubrious, fetid, rank, malodorous, noisome, ghastly swamp that is Washington, D.C. Relief Factor. It's real. It works. It is liberating over a million Americans from their daily pain as we speak. And I just happen to be one of them. Yes, I'd love low back pain issue that plagued me for 9 years, almost a decade. I took Relief Factor. 2 weeks later, I was pain-free, and I'm still pain-free more than 5 years later. That should be you. Find out today. There's only one way. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF to order your 3-week quick starter pack, or go to relieffactor.com. That's 1-800-473-5433, or just go to relieffactor.com. But do it now. relieffactor.com.
Antidote to fake news. America First.
Got a feeling an hour's not going to be enough. Not with a guest like Mike. But we have so much to discuss. Don't go anywhere. First things first. It is clear the globalists are getting ready to declare another pandemic just around the corner. And they want you to live in fear and sacrifice your freedoms. Don't do that. My advice, be prepared, not scared. And don't let Big Pharma tell you what you can or cannot buy to protect your family. Instead, rely upon the wellness company and the life-saving kits. Kits that include products and medicines like ivermectin and Z-Pak, antivirals, emergency antibiotics, and antiparasitics. Don't live in fear. Be prepared. Check out their amazing kits at twc.health/Gorka. That's the wellness company. So twc.health GORKA and enter my name, GORKA, for an extra 10% off. The Wellness Company and their licensed doctors are medical professionals you can trust. See the site for details. Prescriptions may be required. Go to twc.health/GORKA. I want to get to this question of the soul evolution, huge, you know, apples to take a bite out of. But there's one question I ask all of our guests. It's our favorite question here on the Manhood Hour. When you think about your conceptualization of what it means to be grown up, to be responsible, to be a father, who most shaped that for you? When you say, oh my gosh, that's who I want to be. For most, or if you're lucky, it's your father or a grandfather or an uncle. Who was it for Mike Slater that made you think, yeah, that's the man I want to be?
Ah, what a good question. What a good question. Okay. I'm going to go a little bit outside. I got a few, so I'm just going to pick.
Good. Yeah.
My college swim coach, Frank Keefe, just passed away about a year or so ago. He was older when we were coaches, maybe his 70s. His wife had some debilitating something, severe Alzheimer's something.
Mm-hmm.
And he took care of her like a man and brought her to practice every morning, was with her, loved her, cared for her, never left her side until the day she gave her last breath. And to show that to men, young men in college, what love looked like, we didn't recognize it, but looking back on it, it's all the more powerful.
So he'd bring his ailing wife to the sessions?
Yeah. Every practice, every morning, every afternoon, he would care for. He took care of her.
Right.
He took care of her. Even she was like, I don't want to say vegetable, it's like a strong word, but you know, like she was that basically. I don't know what the nicer word for that
right.
is, but
so Coach Keith, give us one more that influenced the Mike Slater.
I always go back to it. I heard this the other day that you should, when you look at a social issue today, you should think, how would my grandpa have reacted to that?
Right.
And I think of my grandpa, obviously. He was young when I passed away, but I have a picture of him in World War II where he's holding up a Jeep axle over his head with one arm. And I cannot tell if he was like part of like a deception campaign where that was like just an inflatable axle. I don't think so, but I don't know how much Jeep axles were in 1942. But that, like, it's just a man.
That's
a pants. The higher the pants, the more the wisdom. And his were real high.
That's so cool. I need to see that photograph. Okay, Coach Keefe and Grandpa Slater, yeah. We love that. Okay, let's go back because you kind of touched on a neuralgic point for me. And I feel like we've really dropped the ball, or we've kind of been castrated on this issue. I think evolution, along with Marxism, is perhaps the most pernicious ideology that's created a soulless Western civilization. Would you concur?
Yes. Oh, 100%. That's perfectly said. Absolutely. It destroys the creator right from the jump.
Right.
It's Genesis 1:1, like gone. It's gone. The creator's gone. And again, this it can only lead to nihilism. I think that we come from nothing. We're randomly here. Everything's explained by just millions of years, which is a ridiculous concept. There's a book called I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. And so I don't have enough faith. And that was one of the pivotal early apologetic. That was the first apologetic books I read. And just how the impossibility of human life. Once you read about that, and even Darwin talked about how the eye is impossible.
Yeah. None of it answers the unmoved mover. Nothing in science explains the unmoved mover or the essence of creation. And I was listening to the sermon yesterday from Father Scalia. We are blessed to listen to Antonin Scalia's grandson as our priest. And he was talking about, you know, the mustard seed. And I just stopped for a second and I went down this thing as he was sermonizing. An awful verb. I did not use that. Sorry, Father P. And I thought, a grain. Can we just stop for a second and think about a grain is this big, it dies, and out of it comes a whole plant. In the case of an acorn, a flipping oak tree. And I'm supposed to believe that happened without a designer. My contention is you have to be really imbecilic to be an atheist.
Yes, but how Satan has flipped it to if you believe in creation, you're the idiot.
Yeah.
That's That's unbelievable. It's so funny you bring that up, the seed. We just started planting some vegetable seeds about 2-3 weeks ago with the kids. We have a 7, 6, 4, and 1-year-old. So we just, they're each planted like 5 seeds or 5 different plants, and we got the whole thing going on. And they started to sprout, and they're like pretty, like they're like crushing it right now. And one of the, I think it's the pumpkin seed. The pumpkin plant is coming up, and the pumpkin seed is still on top of the plant before it kind of opens up. And Jack, my 7-year-old, was just enthralled by this because it was proof that it actually came from this one little seed. Like the remnant of the seed is still remaining. Right. And his mind was blown that this, everything you just described, this green thing can come from this dead seed that I myself put into the ground. And like, that is creation. Like that's it. Like the fact, like, and if you take that away and just say, evolved out of goo. It's, so I don't know how much time we have. Is this our last segment?
We've got one more short one, but we will have to continue. But and the idea that evolved from goo, I call it the sludge hypothesis. If you believe the sludge hypothesis, A, you have to be a clinical imbecile, and B, if you do, then anything is permissible. And I mean anything. Killing babies outside of the womb, killing people because they're the wrong skin color, all of it. If you believe it's all an accident, then nothing has inherent value. And you are equivalent to the sludge from which they say you came. That's what we have to face head on and speak the truth of. I love this guy. Mike Slater, follow him at Slater Radio, host of Breitbart News Daily on Sirius XM, the Patriot Channel. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Relief Factor. It's great, but you know what's also great? Their latest product, for which I have been a guinea pig for 6 months, and man alive, I'm happy because it really works. What's the secret to health? You got to eat right, you got to exercise, but what if you don't get a good night's sleep? You know me, I've said it enough times on this show, I'm a night owl. I'm up in the wee hours, so when I finally lay my head on one of those Mike Lindell pillows, I need to have the sleep of the dead. I need to have a deep sleep, a restorative sleep, and wake up refreshed. How do I guarantee that? With Relief Factor Sleep. It's natural. It works. Unlike everything else, it doesn't make you feel drowsy when you wake up in the morning. My wife, who used to get up at 4:30, is sleeping till 7. It's amazing. Find out for yourself. 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com/sleep. That's 1-800-473-5433. relieffactor.com/sleep.
Can't handle the truth? Is reality just too much? There's always NPR. I hear they have tote bags. This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
No tote bags here, just lots of America First gear. Check it out, sebgorkastore.com. We're back with our special guest, Mike Slater, here on the Manhood Hour. Got to squeeze in a mention of your two books. Let's start with the children's book, Imagine Jack and the History Kids. Ties in well to one of the questions I ask our guests. What is the thing we have to teach the next generation of young men the most? So talk to us a little bit about your book.
Okay, yeah, great. So my son, I wrote for my son when he was like 2. I wanted him to be a boy who could be with himself and use his imagination. So it's a story about a little kid, Jack, who gets bored of his video games, and his mom tells him to go outside, and he like doesn't know what the sun is. And then his friend Paul comes riding by on his bicycle, and he says, "The British are coming, the British are coming." And you turn the page, and the bicycle turns into a horse.
Wow.
And he's Paul Revere, and they're riding through town. And then they have to cross this river. And they're like, "Oh, how are we going to cross the river?" And then their buddy George comes down on a boat, and they turn the page, and it's George Washington crossing the Delaware. And they go through all these adventures, and they meet up with all these other historical figures, and they got to get home by dinner time. And they're just so excited to tell mom and dad about all the things they imagined today and what they're going to imagine again tomorrow. So,
all right,
put down your video game and read the book.
I want to read that book.
It's like I use big words in it. I did that on purpose too. Kids are capable of more than we give them credit for. So there's big words in the book. So lots of ages will like it.
Your other book is How to Change Someone's Mind. Give me just one tease from that, because you know I do this show, and my son says, "Dad, you're always preaching to the choir and you're mobilizing the Patriots and the base." And I see that as my mission, but sometimes he wants me to broaden my aperture. What is the most useful tool you've discovered to bringing somebody at least onto your same frequency, Mike?
Yeah, totally. There's about a 10 steps to it, but I'll give you one, my favorite. The where. You have to find out the where of someone's opinion. One of two things will happen when you literally just ask them, where did you form that? They'll either say, I don't know. And they'll look off into the distance trying to figure it out. And as they do that, you can watch their opinion crumble in front of their own very eyes. Like, oh, I don't really know where I formed that. Or they'll give you a big dramatic story about where. And both are great because now we know what we're talking about. Right. And and then you can start to really understand where they're coming from. And then you can do a better job of analyzing it from that point forward. But make sure that that person and you know not only what they think, but where they form their opinion. Very, very essential. It's essential if you want to change someone's mind is where they formed it.
Priceless. Absolutely flipping priceless. Well, that felt like it lasted about 3 minutes. To be continued. Tune in this Thursday at 8 a.m. Eastern for my regular hit with Mike on Breitbart News Daily, XM Sirius, the Patriot Channel. Check out his books, his first one, his children's book. The other one? Imagine Jack and the History Kids. I want to read that. I want to read the second one, too, as well. The overtly adult one, How to Change Someone's Mind. Ask them where they learned what they learned. And follow him at Mike Slater. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head in a swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never give up. Never give in. And stay frosty.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.